Good morning, good morning. So good to see all of you this day. It is a great day. Amen? This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. It's great to see all of you this morning. Glad that you are here. We'll be looking at Mark chapter 5, the first 20 verses today. Many, many years ago when Sally and I were ministering down in, I believe it was in Lordsburg at the time. We had the boys loaded up in the car. And no, this is another situation. We were in Alamogordo. Get the right story going here. We were sitting at the dining room table, and the mailman showed up, and he brought the mail, and I was shuffling through the mail, and there was this great big envelope. It had a big cellophane front on it. And on big bold letters was, David Rohrbaugh is the undisputed $10 million winner we've been searching for all over America. And this was the first envelope I'd received for a long time, and my heart went like this, you know, my heart just kind of started going a little bit faster, and reread it. And I opened up the envelope and I read the rest of the print, the small print. How many of you have gotten those letters? Yeah, you don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to. But anyway, you know, those reactions that I got there at the moment was, wow, what if? And then, what if, then all the headaches that come with it. But anyway, we go through the different reactions as the different things happen. Celebration today with the commitment of our brother and sister as we continue to encourage one another as we walk together. It's celebration time. Well, this last week, it's been kind of an emotional roller coaster for a lot of people politically. Hopefully some of you have recovered from this last week. There was an issue called elections. And, also regarding taxes and various issues, and there were probably a lot of surprises from the results of the voting of the people and a lot of expected results. There were a lot of joys and a lot of frustrations. The emotions are all over the place when we start looking at different people, different situations. And for some, over the same thing, the same exact thing, some are happy, some are mad. Right? The emotions are all over the place. The reactions are all different, depending on what the person desires, believes, wants, sees. Life in this world involves all kinds of changes, often bringing surprises. How do we react to those challenges or those surprises? When God reveals His desires to us, when the Scripture reveals evil or corruption within us, or when His Spirit impresses conviction upon our heart that we're not doing things the way that pleases God, how do we react? Well, we will react in one of two ways. We will either choose to evade the issue and run away from it, or we will pursue righteousness. We'll either want God's presence or we will reject God's presence. Our text reveals some of the reactions to righteousness and evil. What would our reaction be if we were in that situation? So before we read our text, let's go to God in prayer and ask Him to open up our hearts, our minds, and be with us. Thank you, Father, for this day. It's a day of celebration as we celebrate the decision of the Aragons. And Father, we just ask your blessing upon Steve and Michelle. In the hours and days to come, let us be there to support them and let them grow and mature and be supportive for us as well, that we would all grow in your will, in your way. Father, we pray for the church family as a whole, that we would continue to reach out and minister to the needs of those around us. We thank you for each one who's here, but our heart goes out to those not with us today. And Father, just let us, with love and compassion, reach out to those unable to be with us, those who have chosen not to be with us for some reason. Father, just let us show your love, your grace, and your mercies, your attitude in all things. We pray for the church throughout this world, that your name would be honored and glorified, that people would continue to come to salvation. The days are shortening. You've promised to return soon. And so, Father, we want to be ready. We want others to be ready. So give us the strength, the encouragement, the motivation to witness with our mouth, with our lifestyle, with what we write, what we say, all things. Let us do those things for your glory and the glory of Jesus. Lead us and guide us as we open up Scripture today, as we consider situations and reactions, evaluating our own reaction to make sure that we are pleasing before you, will be found faithful and true before Jesus. Guide us now as we open your Scripture, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Reading from Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20, I'm going to skip part of the verses. I would encourage you to go back and read them. But I'm trying to pull out the main focus of the story, reading the first two verses, and then we'll skip down to verse 6 and 7. They came to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gerasenes. When he got out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. Skip down to verse 6 and 7. Seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before him. And shouting with a loud voice, he said, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God, do not torment me." Now we're going to skip down to verse 9. And he was asking him, "What is your name?" And he said to him, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And down to verse 12 through verse 20. The demons implored him, saying, "Send us into the swine so that we may enter them." Jesus gave them permission, and coming out the unclean spirit and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea, about 2,000 of them, and they were drowned in the sea. Their herdsmen ran away and reported it to the city and in the country, and the people came to see what it was that had happened. They came to Jesus and observed the man who had been demon-possessed sitting down, clothed and in his right mind, the very man who had had Legion, and they became frightened. Those who had seen it described to them how it had happened to the demon-possessed man and all about the swine. And they began to implore him to leave the region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed was imploring him that he might accompany him. And he did not let him. But he said to him, "Go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you, and how he had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed. What a great story. Now, being a former pig farmer, this is one of those stories that breaks my heart. Losing 2,000 pigs, and that's a hit to the wallet. But there is more at work here than just finances or livestock. So let's look at this story a little bit closer. Amen? And you can pray for my emotions about pigs later on, okay? Let's look at the reactions, the different reactions that take place in this section of Scripture. First of all, the reactions of the demons. The reaction of the demons. We see this in verses 1 through 10. We kind of skip down through part of that. We have some history, the situation that I skipped over about this demon-possessed man. But this man was full of demon. And at first it appears as just one demon, but as the story unfolds, it's not just one demon, it's many demons. The demon-possessed man dominated the shoreline of this area where the disciples docked their boat. He was the dominating factor. He was a wild man. He was uncontrollable. He was constantly screaming. In the verses we did not read, it says that he was constantly screaming, being filled with these demons. wandering around, living with the dead corpses in the graveyard. That was his home as he was filled with these demons. Now, the people had attempted to bind him on several occasions before, the scripture tells us, but he seemed to have superhuman strength because the scripture says he broke the shackles and he broke the chains by himself. Now, I like to watch these super muscle guys do amazing things, and they can do some amazing things, but to break shackles and chains, this is evidently somebody greater than just a normal human being, what these demons have done to the abilities, the powers of the human physique. It kind of reminds me of the story of Samson. Only Samson was working in the power of God, not the power of evil. This man is full of evil. His flesh is scarred. He's constantly cutting himself. And he's possibly even bleeding with open wounds as he comes up to Jesus. Just think about the sight of this man. He was constantly cutting himself on the rocks, destroying his flesh, and you all know what that leaves when you cut yourself. There's scars all over him, there's scabs all over him, there's possibly open wounds all over this man who comes running to Jesus from the mutilation that the demons influence him with. But we see that the demon fears Jesus with a great reverence, rushing to the Lord and bowing down, dropping to the ground. This demon recognized who Jesus was, even though he was in human flesh. He recognized the power of the Almighty was before him. The creator of all, the creator of himself. The demons were part of the creation. The angels are part of the creation of the Creator. And he pays homage to him. I want to deal with this word reverence a little bit. Only God deserves reverence. And to use the term reverend or reverence should only be used with the divine. They are the only ones who deserve all fear, all respect. And so please don't use that term with me. And none of you have. Praise God. I had one guy back in a previous ministry, he just liked to dig me. And he'd come up to me and say, "Hey, Reverend Dave, what you doing today?" And don't call me that. God is to be revered. And this demon knew exactly whose presence he was in. He was in the presence of Almighty God. And he falls in total reverence to the divine. The demon acknowledged the authority of Jesus. He's the master of heaven. He's the master of all things. And Jesus had proven just a few hours, possibly minutes before this, that he had the power over the wind and the waves. Remember last week's message? That there was nothing that could harm the Creator. He had to prove that to the disciples. But the demons knew who Jesus was, that he was the one with all authority, that Jesus had the dominance over all things, including their future. What do we have to do with you? Have you come to torment us? The demons knew what their future were. They didn't want to go to their demise yet. And so they seek permission. Jesus demands the demon's name in verse 9, revealing that there is actually more than just one. His name is Legion. Now, this is an interesting term, an interesting name. The word Legion is a Roman military name referring to the largest single unit of forces. And a legion could be up to 6,000 troops, 6,000 individuals. The demon-possessed man is overwhelmed by a host of evil creatures. No wonder he is screaming constantly. No wonder he is running around like a wild man, cutting himself with superhuman strength. But these evil powers are now where? They're on the ground begging for mercy from Jesus. The demons immediately obey the commands of Jesus, the Son of the Most High. He is divine. He is God. He has all authority. And the demons must obey, as all creation must obey the Master, the Creator. There's no argument, only total submission. And they do exactly what Jesus orders, when he orders them to do it, and how he orders them to do it. And they leave the man at his command. Demons understand the authority of Jesus, and they obey him. Let's go on to the reactions of the swine. A lot of you are saying, well, why are we going to look at the pigs? But examine this just briefly. It was important enough to put in Scripture. God saw some significance there. I want to try to bring out a little bit, even though I don't probably understand all of it. But God recorded this for us. The demons had asked permission from the Lord to enter into those pigs, and God approved their request. How many pigs? About 2,000 pigs are up there on that hillside in that herd, and they're foraging around, rooting around, looking for food, looking for goodies. I just love to watch pigs. I guess that's one of the reasons why I raised them. They're so funny sometimes. But I can just see that herd of pigs up on the hillside, rooting around, pushing dirt around, trying to find goodies down in the dirt and stuff. And the question always plagued me, what are those Jews doing raising pigs? Pigs are an unclean animal. Jews are not supposed to have anything to do with that. And so I tried to reason that all out. But one of the things we need to realize is, what side of the lake are they on, the Sea of Galilee? They're on the eastern side, in the region of the Decapolis. The Decapolis. This is a region that was dominated by Gentiles, not the Jews. There were probably Jews living in that area, but the Gentiles were the ones who were living in that area. And so these pigs was their food source. They liked ham and bacon like me. They liked pork chops. They liked all that sausage and all that good stuff that comes from pigs. Now, and so we got to remember that. They are in Gentile country, dominated by the Gentiles. And then my thought goes to, wow, if Jesus had come to my place and destroyed my herd of pigs, I would have been broke and in debt for many years. But one of the things we need to remember is that God placed man over this creation to tend to it, to use it for the glory of God. And that includes animals. That includes animals. Scripture never teaches us that animals should be treated equal to or better than any human being. And we must guard against humanizing animals. That includes my pet dog, my pet cat, my pet fish, my pet pig, or any other pet that we make out of animals. We have a tendency to humanize the animals. They are not human. You are a special creation. Never forget that. God made humans in His image, and the animals are to serve humanity along with the rest of creation. And in this case, God does a very visual illustration of the significance of what took place in this man's life. God created those animals on that hillside, and Jesus knew that on this day, He would destroy those animals in a display of His power. Satan is the destroyer who seeks to kill and destroy. From my personal farm experience, I believe that pigs are one of the smarter of the farm animals. But we see that the pigs were not capable of surviving the demon possession that they experienced. This man had been putting up with legion, we don't know for how many years, but he was a major factor in the community. And when the demons are cast out, when they are allowed to go into this herd of swine, it didn't just kill one or two pigs, it killed the entire herd, almost 2,000 pigs, could not handle the influence of evil in their little pig-picking mind. What does that tell you about the influence of evil, of sin, of corruption? This herd of 2,000 pigs didn't go joyously down the cliff. They went probably squealing in anguish over the presence of evil in their little brain. Don't be deceived by Satan and the powers of evil. Demons enabled this man to do amazing superhuman strength feats, but they were not stronger than the Master, and they were not the Master. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 through 15 warns us that Satan will appear as an angel of light in order to deceive us. He has those superhuman powers to deceive us, to lead us to our destruction, to misguide us. Be alert. Scripture warns us, don't dabble with anything from Satan. Nothing. And if you're not sure about something, do a little research on it. Ask, and we will try to answer. Matthew chapter 24, Jesus very specifically warned about false Christs, false prophets who were capable of great signs and wonders, so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Who are the elect? You Christians are the elect. God wants to keep you. Satan wants to destroy you. Watch out. Be on the alert. You can only fight Satan's powers with the power of Jesus Christ. And so if you're not in Christ, you better look out. Satan and his demons are destroyers, and they steal, they kill, and destroy. If this man had been left with those demons, he would have eventually died and gone to hell. But Jesus delivered him. We see the influence of evil on an entire herd of pigs. It led to their immediate destruction. Let's not be destroyed. Let's walk with Jesus. What about the reactions of the community in verses 14 through 17? This event is over there, as I said, over on the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee, and it's controlled by the Gentiles. The southeast region is called the Decapolis. The reason it got that name is the Deca is referring to 10 cities. Capolis. 10 cities. There were 10 major towns in this area, southeast of the Sea of Galilee. And so that area is called the Decapolis. And now, what happens? Part of their livelihood is destroyed. As I mentioned, if I never did have 2,000 pigs at one time. I had about 400 at the most at one time. And if it wiped me out, I would have been, like I said, in hock with a banker for a while. What happens if you lose all your entire herd? And that's your income, that's your food source. Well, that's the situation over here. The majority of their food, the majority of their income is now gone. The news from the pig herders amazes the villagers. How Jesus could overcome this demoniac that they had been trying to capture for years, trying to chain down and control for years. And he's sitting there in front of Jesus like nothing ever happened. And then to look out there in the sea and see all of their income floating in the water, dead. Now the locals gathered around Jesus with that curiosity and disbelief at first to check out the stories. You know, are these herdsmen going off the deep end? They've been out in a field too long. They've been suffering heat stroke or something. They don't know what they're saying. Our entire herd is gone? The demoniac is sane? You got to be kidding. That's never happened around here before. Let's go check it out, George. Okay. Let's go, Sam. Come on, sweetie pie. Let's go see. Let's go make fun of the herdsmen. And they get there and it's all real. It's all true. They check out what they just heard. They observe with their own eyes the healed men, the corpses of the pigs, and fear gripped their hearts. These villagers all of a sudden realize, who is this guy? They realize that this was a powerful man to not even have to arm wrestle or grab the demoniac. The demoniac had fallen at the feet of Jesus in total submission. Somebody who is more powerful than evil is in their midst. And the herdsmen had heard Legion identify Jesus. Did they hear the whole part that Jesus is the Son of the Most High God? Is this God right there with them? And they got scared. Or did they sense his presence naturally? That they were in the presence of holiness and purity? We are not told. But their reaction is fear. Now the locals at this point totally reject Jesus. They rejected the Lord of life. They demanded that they leave their presence. They didn't want anything to do with this miracle worker. They didn't want anything to do with this guy who had more power than demons. They said, leave us. If Jesus could change the demoniac, what was he going to do to them? And they were quite content with their life as it was. They would rebuild, they would restock their herd, and they wanted to go on with life as it was. So we see that the Gerasenes were like the hard-packed soil here that we discussed, the soils, the sower and the soils a few weeks ago. The Word of God was in their presence, and they let it go. They did not allow it to penetrate their mind. Get out of here. Leave us alone. And we come finally to the reaction of the man set free in verses 18 through 20. First of all, he was totally freed from all of this evil, all this corruption, all this torment that had been plaguing him for untold years. Possibly his whole life, we're not told how long this man endured the corruption. Jesus is the Lord of life. He's the Lord of hope. He's the Lord of purpose. And he touched this man. The man was no longer oppressed. He was no longer tormented and tortured by the innumerable demons that were within him. He is now filled with peace. Peace. Finally. The man was now sitting at the feet of the Master, clothed, and then in his right mind, he was finally sitting with sanity, able to think clearly, listening to the words of the Master, the words of eternal life. For the first time in untold years, he was able to listen to God's promises and to hear God's blessings and to realize they were there for him. The man hungered and thirsted for more of God's righteousness. He didn't get up and run away. He didn't go visit with the villagers. No, he had been wrapped in corruption for so long. He wanted more of what Jesus had to say. He had been drowning in the putrid swill of evil. How much torment this man suffered under the demonic control, we have no idea. If it could destroy an entire herd of pigs, what was this man going through? Finally, he is drinking from the fountain of life, Jesus. He is eating eternal bread. The Word of God is touching him. And he is being restored in the image of God. So the man listened to the directions of Jesus. He wanted to stick with him. Man, wouldn't you want to be with Jesus after having your whole life transformed from total destruction to peace? I want more. Let me be with you. Let me walk with you. Let me go with you. Even though he wanted to stay with the Master wherever he went, Jesus had a different plan for this man. No, I want you to be a missionary to your hometowns. I want you to be the witness, a living witness of what goodness God has for people. You go to your countrymen. You tell them the good news about what the Savior has for them. And so the man obeyed. He obeyed the directions of Jesus. Leaving Jesus, going back to his own people, and telling about the blessings that God can give to people who trust in him. And he goes through the entire region. I think he's one of the first circuit riding preachers, carrying the good news. Jesus can give you life. Jesus can heal you. Jesus can give you eternal life. With the scars all over his body and the notoriety of the Gerasene demoniac, what stories the people had heard. Don't go over there. There's a crazy lunatic over there. And he walks up and says, you remember that crazy lunatic? See these scars? I'm him. But Jesus touched me. Jesus healed me. And Jesus can heal you. And that story still carries on today. We can marvel at the power of Jesus if we just take time to read about him, to let him come into our lives. People who appreciate and believe Jesus obey him, and then they serve him. Paul McReynolds wrote a commentary. He's a Bible scholar and commentator, and he wrote a commentary on the book of Mark. And he included this statement, quote, all the characters in this narrative are aware of the power of God, but awareness paralyzes most of them. and energizes only the healed man. Belief in God still has the power to paralyze and energize. The challenge is there for us also. We can be paralyzed by our faith, or we can be energized. All people need a Savior, but Jesus is the only true Savior who has all power, and He demonstrated that over and over again, the greatest being His victory over the grave. Just as the Scriptures promised, just as He said it would happen on the third day, Jesus conquered the grave so that we might have the hope of eternal life. We are called to believe in Him. Jesus demonstrated His power over the elements. We looked at the Jesus calming the sea with just three words. What were those three words? Peace, be still. Hush, be still. He had the power over the demons. Demons were falling at His feet, and He would cast them out. And Jesus has the power over the grave. We are told in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, that He is present wherever two or more are gathered. Jesus is here with us today. How many believers we have here today? How many times over is Jesus with us? And so does that mean He's not with you when you leave here? You go out by yourself? No, He's with us always, even to the end of the age. That's the promise of Matthew 28, verse 20, the very last verse of Matthew, as well as John chapters 14, 15, and 16. God is with you. What are you doing about it? Are you listening to Him? Are you paralyzed? Or are you energized? Let's be energized. Let's be energized. A work at whatever He calls us to do. Alert to opportunities. Awake in spite of long sermons. In spite of boring things in life, always serving the living Lord. Amen. If any of you need to make a decision for the Lord, don't delay. Don't put it off. Come talk to me. Come talk to one of the elders who are serving the Lord's Supper. Talk with us. Mr. Ed was sitting over there. He's one of our elders. If you know somebody else that you have confidence in that's a believer, talk to them. We are here to help each other. Amen. Would you pray with me? Thank You, Father, for life. Thank You for the opportunity to choose to believe, to react in a positive way with energy. You give us that power, that dynamic power of Your Spirit living within us, God in us. Father, let us put our trust in You, trust in Your power to have You lead us in doing or saying or acting in whatever way You are pleased with. Lead us and guide us. We give You praise and thanks for using us and preparing an eternal home for us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.